Welcome to the debate. Today, we are stripping everything back to, well, to the bedrock. We can talk about mechanical advantage systems, highline deviations, and litter management until we're blue in the face. But none of that matters if the first thing you do is wrong. We are talking about the anchor system. It is the foundation upon which the entire operation rests. I mean, if your knots are dressed perfectly and your team is drilled to Olympic standards, but the point you are tied to fails, gravity wins. It is the one component where failure is just not an option.
That's exactly right. It is the zero fail component. In almost every other part of a rescue system, the main line, the belay, the litter bridle, we have built-in redundancy or, you know, visual warnings before a catastrophic failure. But the anchor, if that goes, the system goes. It's usually instantaneous and the consequences are total.
Yes.
But the question we are wrestling with today isn't just how to tie a knot. It is a philosophical divide that really splits the rescue community.
Precisely. The central question is this. Is the goal of an anchor system absolute structural certainty? You know, seeking the bomb-proof. Or is it the management of compromise through redundancy and adaptability in a, well, an imperfect world? I'm arguing for the former. I believe safety relies on selecting points of unquestionable strength, utilizing fixed load-sharing systems, and strictly adhering to the non-extending principle. We need to eliminate variables, not juggle them.
And I'm taking the other side. I argue that bomb-proof is often a dangerous myth that, frankly, breeds complacency. In the real world, whether that's deep wilderness, a crumbling disaster zone, or a roadside embankment, we rarely get perfect steel beams. Safety comes from managing marginal and artificial anchors through redundancy and using dynamic systems that can adapt to the chaotic reality of shifting loads. You want a fortress? I say we need a flexible network.
All right. Let's get into the weeds then. To have this discussion effectively, we have to agree on our terms. I see these used interchangeably in the field all the time, and it causes communication breakdowns during critical phases of operation. The literature, specifically from Rigging Lab Academy and others, makes a crucial distinction. We have the anchor point. This is the object itself, the tree, the column, the boulder, the vehicle.
Right. The thing that was there before you arrived.
Exactly. Then we have the anchor, which is the single connection point we create. The sling around the tree, the bolt hanger on the rock, the initial interface. And finally, the anchor system, which is the rigging arrangement that ties it all together to create a focal point for your rope.
And I agree with the hierarchy. It's important because you can have a great anchor point, but build a terrible anchor system or vice versa.
So my position, it's really rooted in the Ernst framework. It's the standard acronym, you know, equalize, redundant, non-extending, solid, timely. While all are important, I believe the system hinges primarily on solid and non-extending. If you start with a structural anchor point, a steel I-beam in an industrial plant, a reinforced concrete column, or a massive natural anchor like a healthy, deep-rooted oak, you're starting from a place of engineering certainty. You don't need to guess.
Sure. In a perfect world where every rescue happens in a warehouse or a perfectly manicured park. But let's talk about operational reality. If you are doing a cliff rescue in loose sedimentary rock or a swift water rescue on a muddy riverbank, that solid ideal is a fantasy. You don't get to choose the perfect anchor. The victim's location chooses the anchor for you. And usually, the victim didn't fall from a place with convenient steel girders.
That doesn't excuse poor selection. It raises the standard for verification. If you settle for good enough, you are eroding the safety margin.
Well, it changes the definition of safety. You're looking for a single point that can hold the world. I'm saying we often have to rely on artificial anchors, pickets driven into the soil, cams placed in cracks, or even vehicles. These are often marginal anchors. They aren't bad anchors, but they are complex ones. They require a different mindset where redundancy is the primary driver, not the inherent solidity of the object alone.
But redundancy shouldn't be a crutch for bad rigging. Let's look at the non-extending principle. This, to me, is non-negotiable. If you build a system that allows for extension, I mean, if one component fails, the master point travels a certain distance before catching on the backup, you are introducing shock load.
you are turning a static weight into a dynamic hammer.
We'll get to the shock loading and the dynamic systems, because I think you're overestimating the force generation in modern materials. But let's stick to the anchor point itself for a moment. You mentioned solid as if it's a binary state. The object is either solid or it isn't.
In many cases, it is. A bridge girder is solid. It is engineered. It has a known breaking strength far exceeding anything we can put on it.
Is it, though? This is where the bomb-proof myth gets people killed. You are looking at the object, but are you looking at the environment? This is where the solid definition falls apart for me. You can have a bomb-proof steel beam rated for 50 tons, but if that beam is running next to a high-pressure steam line in an industrial plant, that anchor point is a death trap.
Well, hold on. That's an environmental hazard, right? That's not a flaw in the structural integrity of the beam itself.
But it's a flaw in the system if you ignore it. Let's look at the data. Nylon, type 6/6 nylon, which is what most of our soft goods, our slings and ropes are made of, starts to undergo significant molecular changes and softens at about 180 degrees Fahrenheit or 82 degrees Celsius. That is, that's not that hot in an industrial context. There are case studies where a rope lost 40% of its tensile strength while appearing only slightly discolored. It looked fine, but the molecular bonds were cooked.
Which is why inspection is key.
But the inspection can be deceptive. That's my point. If you are blindly trusting the solid steel beam without doing a site survey or, you know, heat mapping, you aren't building a safe anchor. The invisible risks, heat, radiation, chemical exposure, are what compromise solid points. A bomb-proof anchor in a chemical spill zone that dissolves nylon is not an anchor, it's a hazard.
I acknowledge the threat of heat, absolutely. But that is solved through material selection, not by abandoning the principle of solidity. This is exactly why we carry wire rope slings or aramid fibers like Technura or Kevlar in those environments. If I'm rigging on an I-beam near a heat source or where there might be welt spatter, I'm not using a nylon sling. I'm using a material that matches the environment. The principle of the solid point remains. We just adapt the interface.
Fair enough on the materials. But let's talk about abrasion. This is the other invisible killer of the solid point. You can have a monolithic granite boulder the size of a house. Bomb-proof, right?
Right.
But if it has a sharp 90-degree edge where you place your sling, you are cutting the rope strength by 50%. Instantly. It's simple physics, stress concentration.
Correct, the bend radius issue.
Exactly. The solid rating of the boulder is irrelevant if the bend radius is too tight or if the rope is sawing across an edge under tension. A marginal bush with a rounded trunk might actually be safer for the rope than a solid rock with a razor edge, unless you manage that edge perfectly.
No argument there. Padding is non-negotiable. Solid requires protection. You can have the biggest rock in the world, but if you don't pad it, or better yet, use an anchor extension to move the focal point over the edge, you've compromised the system. But assuming we are padding correctly, let's look at the connection itself, the anchor, how we attach to these points. I champion the basket hitch as the gold standard for single point techniques.
It uses a lot of material.
It provides maximum strength. If you rig a basket hitch correctly, keeping the angles narrow, you are distributing the load across two legs of the sling. You are effectively doubling the sling's capacity. We're talking about achieving ratings up to 53 kilonewtons with standard 8mm cord. That gives you a massive safety factor. My thesis is that rigging should be predictable and maximize the strength of the material.
But you sacrifice utility. A basket hitch is great on a closed loop or a rough object, sure. But if I put a basket hitch on a smooth vertical pole or a tree with no lower branches and the line goes slack, which happens constantly during edge transitions or when loading the litter, that basket hitch slides right down to the ground. It fails functionally. It ends up at the bottom of the pole, changing your vector, potentially grinding against the ground.
That's a rigging error. You shouldn't be rigging on a smooth vertical pole without a stop or a way to secure the height. Sometimes the smooth vertical pole is all you have. This is why I see so many riggers using the girth hitch or the choker. It's fast and it bites. It uses friction to grip the object so it stays in place even when the line is slack.
I'm sorry, but that just sounds like lazy rigging to me. The girth hitch chokes the webbing upon itself. You are introducing a pinch point that reduces the strength of the material by 25 to 30%. You are deliberately weakening your system at the very first connection point. Why would you accept a 30% loss in strength just to save 30 seconds of setup time? It creates a stress riser right at the connection.
I think there is a middle ground that solves your strength concern and my stability concern. The Wrap 3 Pull 2, or W3P2.
The tensionless hitch concept applied to webbing.
Essentially, yes. It's the thinking rigger's choice. You wrap the webbing three times around the object. You pull two strands tight to load, leaving the third slightly loose. Those wraps create immense friction, so it grips the tree or pole like a choker, preventing that slide you hate in the basket hitch. But because you're pulling on two strands and distributing the force over a large surface area without a choke point, it retains high strength. Testing shows it holds around 38 to 40 kilonewtons.
Okay, so you get the grip of a choker without the 30% strength penalty?
Exactly. It doesn't crush the fibers like a girth hitch, but it doesn't fail via sliding like a basket. It respects the material while acknowledging the reality of gravity and friction. It's a bit slower to tie, but it answers both our concerns.
I can see that the Wrap 3 Pull 2 is a superior technique to the girth hitch. It is a valid compromise. But let's move to where we really disagree, multi-point systems. This is where the philosophy of static versus dynamic really clashes.
The load sharing versus load distributing debate.
Correct. I take a very strong stance against load distributing anchors, or LDAs, the so-called self-equalizing systems like the sliding X. I believe they violate the non-extending rule of Ernest in a way that is unacceptable.
But they're designed to equalize load across anchors that might not be perfectly aligned or equidistant.
They are designed to slide. Think about the mechanics. You have two anchor points and the sliding X configuration. If one of those anchor points fails, what happens? The master point slides rapidly to the end of the webbing until it hits the knot. That extension generates a massive amount of kinetic energy. You are creating a shock load on the remaining gear. You are taking a static failure and turning it into a dynamic impact event.
But you are assuming the anchor fails.
Redundancy assumes things break. That is the definition of redundancy. If we assume nothing breaks, we just use a single shoelace. That is why I prefer load sharing anchors, or LSAs. You pre-equalize for the load direction, you tie it off. It is fixed. If one leg fails, the system sits still. There is no extension, no dynamic energy generation. It is safe because it is static.
It is safe if the load never moves, but rescue is dynamic. If we're moving a litter across a slope or doing a highline traverse, the vector of the pull changes. If you use a fixed LSA, as soon as that angle changes by even a few degrees, the load shifts entirely to one leg. Your equalized system is now a single point anchor. You've lost your distribution. You think you have two anchors sharing the load, but physics says you only have one.
And I'd say it's better to load one solid leg than to shock load the whole system. If I trust my points, and I do because I selected solid points, I am fine with that temporary shift.
I disagree. We can mitigate the extension in an LDA. We can use limiter knots in the legs to restrict how far the master point can travel. If we tie knots just a few inches from the master point, the shock load is negligible. But we gain the massive benefit of dynamic equalization. If the vector shifts, I want the system to adjust so I'm utilizing all my anchors, not just one. I want to keep the load distributed, especially if my anchors are marginal to begin with.
You're playing with fire. The extension is rarely negligible once you factor in rope stretch and knot tightening. And limiter knots shorten the legs, which increases the internal angles. Which brings us to the physics. The geometry of these systems is often ignored in favor of how it looks.
Oh, geometry is as important as the gear. You can defeat strong gear with bad math.
Absolutely.
I focus on the critical angle. Riggers need to understand this viscerally. The ideal internal angle between anchor legs is 90 degrees or less. At 90 degrees, each leg is holding about 71% of the load. That's manageable. That helps us. But I see people rigging wide angles to reach anchor points that are far apart.
And that's where the math kills you.
Exactly. As you approach 120 degrees, the force multiplication is severe. At 120 degrees, each leg holds 100% of the load. You haven't distributed anything. You have replicated the load. You are doubling the stress on the system just because of bad geometry. If you go wider than 120, the forces go exponential. You could pop bolts just by tensioning the system without even putting a load on the line.
That's the standard 2D classroom math. And you're right, it's critical. But I come at it from a different dimensional perspective. I worry about triaxial loading. The real world is 3D. We aren't just pulling down, we are pulling sideways or out.
Explain how that changes the anchor selection for our listeners.
Look at a high directional, like an Arizona vortex or a tripod. You have the vertical load, sure, but then you have front ties and back ties stabilizing it, maybe using a voodoo hitch to tension it. You have forces acting on the X, Y, and Z axes. A simple angle calculation doesn't account for the torsion or the sideways pull of a redirect.
This is particularly dangerous with bolts.
Right. A bolt might be rated for a downward shear pull or an outward tension pull. But if you pull it sideways and outward because of a redirect, you're applying leverage it wasn't designed for. You're twisting the hanger. You have to visualize the vector not just as a line on a page, but as a force in space.
I agree completely on the leverage. This is why attachment points matter. If you attach high on a tree or high on a bolt hanger that isn't flush, you are creating a bending moment. You are applying torque.
The lever arm effect.
Exactly. We must rig at the base, minimize the lever arm. If you rig high on a marginal tree, you aren't just pulling on it. You are trying to uproot it with leverage. You are turning your rope into a crowbar against your own anchor.
And this brings us back to the anchors themselves. Sometimes nature gives us nothing. No trees, no rocks, just dirt or blank concrete. This is where I trust the gear. And you doubt it. I advocate for tools like the Petzl Core Pulse. It's a removable bolt, or the Hurley picket system for soil. These allow us to create anchors where none exist.
I doubt them because they require perfect execution. A 12-millimeter removable bolt is a marvel of engineering. But look at the constraints. A core pulse requires a 12-millimeter drill bit, not a half-inch bit. This is a common mistake in countries that use imperial measurements. 12 mil is 0.47 inches. Half inch is 0.5. If you use a standard half-inch bit, that bolt will slip. It cannot achieve the compression it needs.
That's why you carry the right kit. You label your bits. It also needs a perfectly round hole. If you use a cheap two-cutter drill bit, the hole ends up triangular or lobed. You need a three- or four-cutter bit to get a round hole so the expansion sleeve contacts fully. If you mess up the drilling by a fraction, that anchor is unsafe. It is too sensitive to operator error.
That's why we train. We can't dismiss a tool because it requires skill. By that logic, we shouldn't use ropes because not tying requires skill.
But it makes them inherently questionable or marginal. A single bolt is never enough. A single picket depends entirely on whether you are in clay or sand. My rule is simple. If it is artificial, it must be redundant. You cannot hang a life on a single piece of mechanical gear that relies on friction or expansion. It must be built into a system of at least 3 points to be considered solid.
I don't disagree with the redundancy. I disagree with the dismissal. The Hurley picket system, for example, uses a metal plate to align the pickets perfectly in line with the load. It removes the variability of hand-tied lashings. It makes the artificial anchor reliable and repeatable. It turns a marginal soil anchor into something approaching solid.
Reliable, perhaps. Bomb-proof? No. I've seen pickets creep in saturated soil.
And that is where we circle back. I think bomb-proof is a dangerous comfort zone. If you look at a tree and say, that's bomb-proof, you stop inspecting it. You stop worrying about the root rot or the soil saturation. You stop checking the backside for decay. Real safety comes from treating every point as questionable.
And I say that reliance on managing marginal anchors breeds complexity, and complexity breeds error. I reject complexity in favor of rigorous simplicity. Stick to the gold standard. Basket hitches, structural steel, fixed anchors. Adhere to the non-extending principle because shock loading is catastrophic and frankly hard to predict. As the old saying goes in rescue, fast, clean, and right.
beat slow and clever.
What slow and clever keeps you alive when the environment throws a curveball? The environment, heat, edges, soil composition, triaxial forces, is the real enemy, not just the knot you chose. If you are rigid in your thinking, you will break when the situation bends.
We can agree on this much, though. Solid is not a feeling. It is an evidence-based judgment.
Absolutely. Whether you are using that massive tree or a specialized I-beam trolley that rolls along the girder, the anchor must be inspected. It must be protected with padding.
And it must be understood through the lens of physics. You have to know what forces you are applying.
So, next time you are rigging, don't just look at the connection point. Look at the angles. Look at the invisible forces. Don't just build an anchor. Build a system that manages the risk.
And build a foundation that cannot fail. Because if the anchor fails, nothing else matters. Thanks for listening to The Debate.